We'll do the election announcements first. So if we could have some quiet, please, as befits this solemn occasion where the organization proceeds into the future led by its dynamic new leaders. So, Rick?
And in theory, this is one election we will not regret.
Wait, two beats.
And so much for your political action statement of the... Anyway, okay, the following people are elected. Greg Dixon, Colin Eisler, Renee Yeager, Steve Malott, Dr. Mike, and Jamie. Okay, now, we have a little bit of administrative baloney to handle. There's a tie for the third, for the last, the seats 4 and 5 of the committee and the 1 year seat. And the tie is between Greg and Dr. Mike and Jamie. So I'm going to ask if one of you will volunteer to take the 1 year slot. Okay, there it is. Then we're handled. Okay. The elections are sorted.
So that's it for the business of the evening, and there's no more presentation. But what I did want to say, Ian and the crew took some time setting up the crosstalk cancellation filter, and Philip Clausen has set up an HTC Vive there with a game that he did the sound design to. It's called Nightmare Grotto. It's a VR game using the Oculus SDK, the 3D spatialized plugin. And again, whether or not you've played VR before, you should try it. It's really, really very scary and fun. It's fun. And we'll be playing various stuff here. I don't know if we'll be able to run another impulse response because the room needs to be quiet for that. So I think we're going to use the one we've got. Some of the imaging maybe isn't quite as good as we've gotten in the past, but it is fun to listen to, and we've got a number of binaural recordings we can play. So,
are there other questions?
Other questions, yeah, about stuff.
What kind of processing power does it take as it's running?
What kind of processing power does this take to run this software? So this software is the Bach DSP, and it's running on a Mac Pro. This was the last Mac Pro tower before they came up with a dustbin, so it's about 4 years old. It's pretty pimped out. It's got, I can't remember the speed of the processor, but if you look up whatever it's a Mac Pro from 2012 with, I think it has 32 gigs of RAM, but I don't think it's the RAM that's going to get you on this. I think it's CPU, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that an 8-core or a 4-core?
4-core. That's a 4-core machine. So when Dr. Shuhari was here just last month for the symposium, he was running it, wasn't he running it on his laptop, Ian?
Yeah,
and so I think he had one of the new Mac Pro laptops.
Is it like maxing out, or?
It's pretty CPU intensive. It's my understanding. Any thoughts on that, Ian? To add?
They recently added multi-threading, and it's a lot better now. If you have multiple cores. Before, we couldn't get above 44, 48 kilohertz without pops, and now we can get usually above that.
Yeah, the system is up to 96 or 192?
96.
96, yeah. More questions. Dan?
Are you able to talk about what any of this stuff is on the screen that we're seeing?
For that, I turn it over to Ian, yeah.
Can I get a mic?
Yeah, do you want this one, or do you want to just do the
handout? If there's anything in particular you want to ask about,
start
ask.
In a corner and go across.
All right.
It's a
so I'm going to click that hide, and now we get just the main window. So we have three different bins. We can have three different sets of filters.
Ian,
yes.
Can you control zoom on that machine?
I might need the headset for that.
Just a minute.
Yeah, so the sweep we did with the impulse response here, there, you can do three of them.
Good evening. This is your 30-minute reminder that DigiPen will be closing at 10 p.m. The last show of the evening will be leaving at 10 10 p.m. Thank you, and have a good night.
It doesn't apply to us.
Yeah, if there's any minors in the room, I think they need to go to bed.
Yes, if there's any DigiPen students, but you're all graduated, so we're all good. So anyway, you're saying three, you can capture three impulse responses.
All right, there we go. Okay, so we have these three bins here with three different filters for the room. We can have them with head tracking or without head tracking. And then we can also bypass it so that we're not going through a filter. Master volume section, a little touchy. See if I can, there we go. Up here, fancy thing you all probably saw is the head tracking display. That's a display of the head tracking. If I show the advanced controls, these are the actual controls for the head tracking. So when we were getting issues with tracking multiple heads at the same time, what I can do is, you know, I can reposition this, zoom in to a specific head. I can look at your head right there. And now we are looking at your head.
Move your head.
So does that use a special camera or just a
This is just a 720p webcam.
I got it at Office Depot.
But it does work with other types. Let's see, I think it's an HP mode. Yeah, so there's webcam, track IR, which is... it's track IR uses one or two infrared.
Infrared.
And then it has reflectors that you just clip onto your headphones, and you can go, I believe, full 360 with that one. With the webcam, you can only go about, what is that, like 60 degrees? There's others, iCube, IMU. I don't know what those are, sorry. Let's see, was there anything?
Why don't you show the 3D mixer?
Yeah, the 3D mixer is pretty fun. So this is the 3D mixer. We didn't demo this today, but what you can do is you can load in some multi-channel sources. So you can load in multiple mono files, up to 10, and that's not sample accurate. Or you can load it. Oh, yeah. And then this bottom one, the multi-track player, you can load in a single multi-channel file. So if I have, you know, 22 different mono tracks that I want to play, I just make my own Frankenstein 22-channel audio file, and you can load that in there, and that's actually sample accurate. And then what you can do with that is those sources each go to a channel on this mixer. And so if I... No input.
Yeah, I told Ian we weren't going to demo this part of it because... We really just got it a month or two ago, and so he's a little bit on the spot here, but easy to do.
So you can, with any source, I'm going to do this with this source here, and let me know if you can't see anything. You can change the azimuth, the elevation, the radius, and then you can do that for any source. You can also, I don't know what's going on there. You can also drag them around and, cool, that stopped it.
Was it too close or something?
I don't think so. I mean, I can put something basically on your head. Let's hit that guy a little. You can navigate within the sound field. So I can move the head in all degrees. I can rotate it, pitch and roll, yaw, pitch and roll, reset everything to where it was. You can also navigate the sound field with a Bluetooth PlayStation controller. Don't have that with me today, but if you come back sometime, you can play with the PlayStation controller and move around in one of these sound fields. Now for the 3D mixer, this is all done with mono sources, so we need to apply an HRTF to it. So we have a bank of HRTFs here, all given cute names from the Bach family. Johann Sebastian, Johann Christian, CPE.
Could you load your own?
If, you know, I remember Dr. Schwery talking to us about that sometime. If we got our own, he could tell us how to do it, but I don't think there's like an option.
Yeah, I don't think his software
the UI accounts for it, but I think there's a way to load it in and replace one of the generic.
I think these are just files you can actually go look at and copy. So I'm pretty sure you could just replace one of them. I don't know that for sure. You can animate things. So now this thing is moving around. One thing that's really cool about the 3D Mixer is it does reverberation and reflections. That's down here. So you see when I turn the reverb and reflections off, this space disappears. This green cube is my space, and I can set the room dimensions. So I can make it less wide, less tall. I can change the radius, which you're not seeing it getting bigger, but you're probably seeing the head getting smaller.
Are there specific parameters when you make that larger or smaller, or is that just, what is it?
Well, we have materials on all the walls, so there's, let me step back from that for a second. It calculates reflections, so that is going to tell you more about the space, and reverb as well, so you get longer times, longer initial delay.
It's actually calculating the reflections that would be if the walls were that far from the head. And then you can also replace the materials of the wall. So is there a drop-down menu for that?
Yeah.
There you see you've got concrete, brick, painted, wooden floor, acoustic tiles. So the virtual room that you're in, according to that.
Here.
Perhaps I'm too far from it, but when you say size of room, I mean, are there dimensions there, somewhere up there?
You mean actual dimensions.
Actual.
Yeah. So... right now, we're at 2.5 meter max radius, and then I don't know exactly what the widths are, but I would bet it's in meters.
Zoom in a little bit on that?
I don't think I can zoom in.
With your control?
Oh, with that. To which part?
Just that side.
User interface, blow up the user interface.
There you go.
This part?
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's in meters.
Yeah, this is in meters. Although it's the max radius, and some of these are larger than that, so I don't know if these are meters also.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to really dig into this yet.
Radius means half of the circle, so it's 5.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
So as long as those other ones are under 5, good.
So there's that. I have here actually something ready to play. We might lose sync. This is a 4-track... file, but I can demonstrate some of the room materials with that. Let me just set this up for quad and increase the radius so we can hear everything.
And while you're doing that, Lawrence, this is for the playback to determine the space that the listener would be in while they're listening through their headphones or for through their ears, which are specific. Separate setting for this space. So this creates the space, and the listener's ears and whatever puts them in that space.
Well, right. It's one of the generic HRTFs that you select, and the idea, I guess, is you just pick the one that seems to be the most accurate for you. But what the 3D mixer allows you to do is to take up to, how many is it, Ian, until you have to submix, 24?
20-something, yeah.
20-something individual mono sources, and you can place them anywhere in 3D space. And you can also animate them as well. Dr. Scherer was talking about, if you were at the audio symposium, talking about doing the recording of the Berlin Philharmonic and then getting the stems from that, from the close miking, and then assigning them in here so he could make the Berlin Philharmonic fill. You know, you could have the cellos here, and or you could try to actually simulate the way that the orchestra was actually laid out. But I think that's the primary function of this 3D mixer is to allow an engineer to spatially mix multi-channel sources into a 3D sound field.
So one of his demonstrations was a half a dozen people chatting. So when I was sitting behind there, I could hear a voice here, and I could hear a voice over here, and a voice there, and a voice there. And each one of those voices is one of those tracks. Mm-hmm.
I think in that particular recording, that's just a binaural recording.
I think that's one of Dr. Chesky's binaural recordings of, you know, that he did
to demo that. But you could use this to do that.
Okay.
In fact, that's one of the things that I would hope to do for this demonstration. It's just too time consuming. We didn't get around to it, but was to bring some stuff in here and play around with it, and then take the IR, get a good solid image, and sit in the middle of a string quartet and have your chair spin around. You really want to hear that. So that's what we're going to try to do.
It must be ferociously time consuming with this methodology.
For mixing? I haven't done it, but it certainly looks like it would be that way, yes. Yeah.
This is something that you could automate the game.
Well, remember now, that's what the distinction I was making between using recordings of real world sources versus most of what we do for game VR is all virtual. So you're trying now to spatialize, some artificial thing that never existed, and this isn't exactly how you would go about that. It doesn't quite make sense, because when you're the nature of a video game, and by the way, is Philip Clausen, there's Philip here, I really want some of you to try his game because it's awesome. In fact, if anybody wants to get started on it, because I know it's getting late and we're going to run out of time, it's quite amazing, so feel free just to go over there and try it. I lost my thread of thought, so I don't even know what I was talking about, sorry. Right, but you'd have to get the real-time parameters running. It just as a UI for game development wouldn't quite make sense, because this would be for pre-scripting something, right?
Then it's a question of the interface.
Yeah, exactly. And sort of from a tools user standpoint, I'm looking at the interface. So we would want to be able to have our engineers tell us, okay, you're going to have a locomotive running on a circular track around you, and we'll create that, and we'll feed those coordinates into your audio middleware, into WISE or let's say Audio Kinetics WISE, and then we'll apply an HRTF to that thing, and wherever it moves, then now the sound will get spatialized to that location. This, to me at least, seems more like for mixing a 3D audio recording in the way that you might mix a record. But certainly the guts of it would. Well, you talk to me about game development. You tell me about taking WISE out of the loop, right? I would love to take WISE out of the loop, but right now that's our bread and butter.
Is there any change in the model that you have to do beforehand compared to doing a voiceover recording where it's just a flat voice, or if they're trying to inflect it and if they're going louder and saying, hey, they're a little bit farther away? Does that show up if you're loading in the different mono?
That's actually where the room reflections come in. So if you position something really far away and he's yelling, then if you have the room reflections on, which is right up here, then you're going to hear a lot more reverberation compared to dry signal. And that's going to give you the cues. So he can be as loud as he wants, and you don't have to do any sort of dynamics processing to it. And while we're on that, I'll do a quick demonstration for anybody who wants to keep watching of the room thing. So I'm going to play a barbershop piece here.
Yeah, this is a fun one to listen to if anyone wants to sit here. And on the VR game, by the way, we have a headphone mixer and four headphones, so you can watch somebody else play the game if you don't really want to be attacked by vicious zombies and weird dog things that come up and attack you when you're not looking and scare the pants off you.
Technical issues. Sir.
Other questions? Good. So we don't have, unless Ian has, he's happy to keep showing off this to the degree we have it. I'm sorry that we didn't have the mixer demos.
All right. So I'm going to solo one of these guys. I think this is the lead.
This is a binaural recording.
No, this is, the mixer is playing through the Bach filter using the IR that we captured earlier this evening. What he has is four mono signals of a barbershop quartet, each of them pretty well isolated. And he loaded them into the mixer, and now they're each represented by those four dots. We've got this, two, three, four. And he's now animating the position of this voice here, and it's moving around in space, or if the image is good, it will.
So that part of it's pretty fun. What's fun is to do it yourself, you know, to move the controls. And we have the PlayStation controller, which actually works with this. We haven't quite gotten all the bugs worked out yet.